The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we have so much news and information today, ladies and gentlemen, that the average talk host in America, it would take them 3 days to get through all of the big news stories of the day. But ladies and gentlemen, fortunately, you are tuned in to an above average talk radio program, and we are going to be able to compile all of this information into the 3 hours of radio that we are about to experience together across the great fruited plain. Welcome, everybody, to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. And we've got a big story for you, Winston-Salem listeners, you North Carolina folks. We've got a crazy story to talk about a little bit later on, where apparently you guys have a big problem with the children in your taxpayer-funded school systems attacking teachers. And we have some really shocking video. We'll talk more about that in just a little while. Also, some very disturbing news coming from Capitol Hill, where the Reverend Mike Johnson, who is also Speaker of the House, Reverend Johnson, is once again stabbing all of you conservatives in the back. I mean, this is really shocking, but not much of a surprise. As a matter of fact, the House Freedom Caucus is weighing in on this, and they're very upset. They're saying Speaker Johnson is surrendering the last opportunity we have to combat the border crisis. This flies in the face of every promise Republicans have told you. The firm and the Uniparty care more about funding Ukraine than they do securing our own borders. Now, you know, this is an interesting observation here from the House Freedom Caucus. And they are alerting you to the fact that Speaker Johnson is not who he says he is. Now, we're not going to go through all of we've been talking about this ad nauseum for weeks now about Speaker Johnson, and I don't know what's going on there. I don't know. Tucker Carlson seems to think that maybe, just maybe, they've got something on the right Reverend Johnson. I don't know. I don't know. I knew him to be a good and decent and fair man. We once had a seat at that table, and we don't anymore. And that's okay. But the problem with that is when you abandon all of those who brung you to the dance, as we say in Tennessee, well, the problem is sometimes you step on a lot of toes. But it looks to me as if Johnson and the Democrats are about to shove through a massive spending agenda again. And we're getting word that the Democrats are tying a boondoggle to whatever is about to be introduced today. In other words, more of your money is going to Ukraine and more of your money is going to Israel and Taiwan. Now, I just want to say something here. And who do I want to aggravate today? All right. Here's the deal. I'm of the opinion that we should support our allies, right? Ukraine, not an ally. They're not a part of NATO. Israel, a beloved, loyal ally, our most important ally in the entire world. That being said, we can't help our allies if we don't have a country. So I believe that at this moment in time, that we have to allocate all available resources to securing our own border, protecting our own people. Because if we can't secure our border, if we can't protect our people, if we have mushroom clouds over major American cities and half the country is a toxic wasteland, we can't help anybody, much less Israel. So here's my thought as we go into whatever is about to happen up on Capitol Hill today. No funding for Ukraine at all, period. We don't have the money. We do not have the money. And I'll explain this. There's something happened in Memphis last night that will hopefully illuminate this this idea. We can't afford anything for Ukraine right now. If they want a loan, we will consider a loan, but they got to pay back the loan with interest. Israel, we're going to try to help you out, but we've got to take care of our borders first. Now, we've lost count of the number of lawmakers that have come onto this program over the past year, and they're very upset about all of this. And you'll hear them, and you'll hit from the north, the west, the Midwest, the South, and every single one of them says the same thing. Why, Todd? I say, Todd, we got a problem in this country. We got a problem. We got open porous borders. And Todd, it's just not a matter of if, but when them tourists attack us. The tourist? Are the tourist? No, sir, I said tourist. Oh, terrorist. That's right, I said tourist. And they going to blow all of us up, Todd. It's not a matter of if, but when. It's not a matter of if, but when. I say again, it's not a matter of if, but when. Wow. All right. I mean, how many times have we heard the lawmakers on the program say those exact words? Why, I said it a lot of times, Todd. I know. Thank you, Congress. It's my time now. So if that's the case, then what are we waiting for? Seriously, what are we waiting? Are we literally waiting for a big mushroom cloud to explode over an American city? Is that what we're waiting on here? And at that point, somebody will get out there and say, well, geez, I guess we should have shut down that border after all. Anybody got a Richter counter on them? No, seriously. I mean, what are we waiting on? And I don't know about you, but I mean, and it could be anywhere now, right? Biden is dispatching the terrorists to every city, every community in America. So they could be lurking about, well, not in Memphis. It's too dangerous for the terrorists. But everywhere else, it's like fair game. 901-260-5926. What do you think about my policy? Let's take care of Americans first. Why? And then we can help other people. But let's take care of Americans first. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this today. 901-260-5926. Now, I say this because yesterday was the first 100 days of the new mayor in Memphis, Tennessee. His name is Paul Young. We call him Mayor Brotherman. And Mayor Brotherman held a big speech last night and made some stunning, stunning pronouncements. So it turns out that Memphis is facing a $30 million shortfall in the budget, at least a $30 million shortfall. So the mayor's giving this speech, and it was supposed to be a celebratory speech. By the way, in the first 100 days of the new mayor's administration, there have been more than 100 murders in Memphis. They didn't celebrate that. So the mayor comes out, and this is a divided city. I mean, people are really, they're scared. People are leaving. Just the other day, one of the top steakhouses in downtown Memphis announced that they're shutting down, and they actually told the local newspaper it's because of crime. You've got hundreds of millions of dollars in high-rises and new developments that have now been canceled. People are canceling their tourist and their vacation plans because it is so dangerous in Memphis. Right now, they are down 500 officers from their full complement at the Memphis Police Department. Now, Mayor Young, when he campaigned, I think he bamboozled the rich, moderate white guys, the business owners, who basically funded his campaign. This guy came out of nowhere, and those are the ones you got to look out for. He's a Barack Hussein Obama wannabe, this one. And, oh, he was very polished out on the campaign trail. But now that he is in the mayor's office, it's a whole different story. And this guy is a raging radical leftist, and he fooled a lot of people. But he didn't fool us, ladies and gentlemen. You got to get up pretty early in the morning to fool Todd Starnes. And I get up early in the morning. Not that I fool myself, but I digress. So the mayor gave a big speech last night, and instead of saying that we want to unite Memphis, Tennessee, we want to get the children off the streets, Mayor Brotherman said that Memphis is really not your city. Talking to people like Ben Dieter, the morning show host on KWAM, our flagship station, who is Lily White. No. Memphis is not meant for children like Ben Dieter. No, Memphis is a, well, to borrow a phrase here from Ray Nagin in New Orleans, Memphis is going to be and will always be a chocolate city. Cut number six.
You all have heard me say this before, and I'm going to say it again, because recently we were named the largest majority black city in America. And you all know what that connotation often means.
Uh-oh.
I don't have to say it explicitly, but you know. You usually correlate that with crime, poverty, those negative attributes. I feel like it's our responsibility to work hard to associate that designation with positive attributes. When the world hears that superlative, I want them to think of black wealth, culture, arts, excellence.
Murder.
When they hear Memphis, I want them to think of America's coolest city. Because that's really who we are. That grit and grind vibe, that's real. Memphis, we get it done. We're innovative and experimental. We're soulful. We're cool. Culture is the king here. And I want you all to lean into that cultural identity.
Okay. So a lot to unravel there. He goes on to say, this is our city. Our city. And he's not talking about you folk. He's talking about a specific demographic. It was one of the most racially charged speeches I've ever heard. And for me, this is something that bothers me because there are people out there that love to divide along racial lines, and we just don't do that here. So then the mayor, he talks about how bad things are. He says that, yes, we understand crime is a problem, but we've got to start offering more free stuff to the children. And he said that one of the things that we have to do to reduce crime is to start sponsoring midnight basketball for teenagers and also giving the children free movies at the community centers. As he is saying this, last night there was literally a shooting at one of these community centers and one poor kid got killed and the other got shot. Critical condition today. So all of this, and the mayor says we've got to do more for the children. In the meantime, we're going to raise your taxes. Cut seven.
If you're concerned about crime, this will allow us to invest more in public safety. If you're concerned about the future of our city, this will allow us to invest more in our young people because they are the future. If you believe in the power of quality housing or digital access, this will allow us to invest more in those life-changing neighborhood bettering assets. If you're a business owner, this will give us the ability to invest in the infrastructure and community-wide programming that will make attracting talent and customers easier. I promised y'all that I was going to be transparent. And I also promised you that I would do more to turn this ship. And I believe that we can turn this ship. Well, I believe that we are turning this ship. We are.
Okay, so they're going to be raising property taxes, and they're coming after all the businesses. And they're also, and the mayor also said, that they're going to look at possibly defunding the police. Now, he didn't say defunding, but they're 500 officers short, and they're saying, you know what, we may not be able to fund those positions after all, but we're going to give the children midnight basketball. May I just ask a question about all you parents out there who allow your children to roam the streets after midnight? What you talking about? Really? What are you? Who does that? Why do you let your kids roam around the streets at midnight? Who? What kind of parents do that? Get your butts in home. And it's, really more basketball courts? Is that really what we need here in America? Is that what we need in Memphis, Tennessee? More basketball courts? How about this? What about reading a book? What about learning a trade? Is that too difficult to do? Anybody want to talk about that? What about spending that money, if we have it, which we don't, but if we had the money, why not spend that in building more trade schools? Why not teach a kid how to do something to earn a living instead of playing basketball? I mean, look, if you want to dribble balls, you can do it on your own dime, in your own time, during the daylight hours. I got a lot to talk about here. We're going to take a quick break. 901-260-5926. But this, I use Memphis as an example because this is happening in cities all over America, all over the country. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and in just a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime, and you'll see transparent pricing on every coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit legacypminvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. And this new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit legacypminvestments.com to get started. That's legacypminvestments.com, or call 866-649-0304. That number again, 866-649-0304, and start investing today. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Let's go to Tennessee. Rich is listening to us on WTJS. Hi, Rich. What's on your mind today?
Yes, sir, Todd. I'm going to hit three things real quick. Right in line with you. Number one, this business of no Israel because we got trouble. Boy, what a cop-out. What a way for these rhinos to get it their way every which way. Carl Jung over in Memphis, he's actually a Biden racist. You know, Biden, like, will teach blacks how to use the Internet and all that stuff. Carl Jung, blacks need this and that. He's a racist. The former Nashville mayor, that woman, I think she's running again. That Leslie woman, Nezzy, up there running for and taking the master's degree. It goes
well,
on.
I don't know anything about that one, but let me say this about Paul Jung. I don't know if he's a racist, Rich. I will say this, though. That was one of the most racially charged speeches I have heard in a very long time.
Quickly, and I'll go. What about the Harvard woman going to be teaching kids up there how to, when they're through with a paper, how to check it to make sure you've used some good sources? $900,000 a year, the ex-Harvard woman. Listen, I grew up with all the racism. My family, I've done been through all this in the 70s and all that. I want to tell you something. I regret my family, my father, we were business people. I regret the whole civil rights thing for very good reasons. I'm a Martin Luther King.
All right. Well, Rich, we're running out of time here, so my apologies. I will say this. We don't tolerate race agitators, and I don't mind calling them out. And the mayor of Memphis, Tennessee, is one of those agitators. And that's the whole point, is that they want to divide us. And to Rich's point, we can't allow these people to divide us. We just can't do that. All right, got to take a quick break here, folks. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. You might have heard Mike Lindell of MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. They've been part of the cancel culture, so they want to pass the savings directly to you by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some you may not even know about. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Their six-pack towel sets, $25. Brand-new four-pack dish towels, you guessed it, just $25. And for the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with all-new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping, too. This amazing offer won't last long, so go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 today. That's promo code STARNS. All right, welcome back. Good to have you with us. Katie Couric, is she still a thing? You know, she got booted out of Yahoo. And how bad do you have to be that you can't even hold a job at Yahoo? I've always wondered that. She was one of the females over at the Today Show. Very bitter person. And she was not very well liked. You know, she gives off this persona of, "Hi, I'm just Katie, and I just love everybody." But she's not. She's a pretty vicious person. And you have to be to some extent to be at the national level. You've got to be smart, a little ruthless. And I'm not saying anything. All I'm saying is if you were on the morning show with Katie Couric and she offered you a delicious, refreshing glass of iced tea, I'd make her drink a sip first. That's all I'm saying. Jeez, hello. Anyway, Katie Couric doesn't like all of us MAGA people. Cut number 11.
And I feel like, to your point, Bill, the socioeconomic disparities are a lot, and class resentment is a lot, and anti-intellectualism and elitism is what is driving many of these anti-establishment, which are Trump voters,
right.
Or anti-establishment
Absolutely.
Voters. So I think that is a huge problem that we have to address. I mean, globalization and, you know, the transition from an industrial to a technological society. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been jealous of what someone else has or resentful. It is such a corroding and bitter, almost bile feeling.
Right.
All right, there's Katie Couric calling all of you MAGA people, you America First people, you Trump supporters, calling you anti-intellectual.
Well, I don't know what she's talking about. I just don't get into all that book learning. Me and the little lady just down here at the trailer park, we're about to go out and get our weekly bath, then head on down to the shoe store and get some shoes. For the little kids, the little youngsters, we got, well, my wife is also my first cousin, but she's pretty.
I mean, that's what they think we are, right? A bunch of hillbillies.
Who are you calling a hillbilly, boy?
I'm just saying, this is what they think we are.
Where's my banjo?
I'm just saying. It's terrible. Look, they really do think this. The other side, these radical leftists out there, they think that they are they're smarter than you are. They're more influential, and they have more money, and they think they're even more attractive, which we know is not true, because we've all seen the protest, and I don't mean to disparage the alleged lesbo crowd out there. They go out and they march, and they, many of them probably need to visit our friend Jenny Craig, and they have magenta hair. They probably need a lady pick or two, and they're out there marching in the streets. Those are the poster children, and honestly, also people like the Leah Thomases of the world, who have lady parts where their men parts are supposed to be. That's the face of beauty and attraction for the far left. So I truly believe, and especially when you listen to the Todd Starnes radio program, and we've actually commissioned a study. A couple of years ago, we commissioned an unofficial study, unofficial, unscientific study of our audience, and we have determined, based upon the information we have, that we do not only have the most attractive audience in all of talk radio, but listeners to the Todd Starnes radio program are actually wealthier, more better off. You guys have a high degree of education, and you are in the know. We actually researched all of this, and so our audience, by and large, is more attractive and more influential and more financially well off than any other talk radio program in the nation. And we embrace that because we've got an awesome crowd that listens to this radio program. Many of you call in and you offer your thoughts and opinions. But the people on the left, they actually, they don't believe that you should have a voice. And this goes back to Barack Hussein Obama, talking about all you people clinging to your guns and your religion. This is Hillary Clinton talking about the basket of deplorables, irredeemable. This is about Joe Biden calling you folks the dregs of society. By the way, Joe Biden called you Christians the dregs of society. Made that speech at a human rights campaign dinner. That's the anti-Christian group that embraces the whole alphabet activist movement. So that's, they really do believe that you people are beneath them and that you need to be not just governed, but ruled. Remember when Obama was president, they tried to do this in some very subtle ways. Remember how he talked about Michelle Obama being the mother of the nation, Mother Obama, Mobama? And remember when he talked about how, you know, when it was time for their birthdays, we were all summoned to send birthday greetings to the White House. I may have sent a greeting myself. I don't want to talk about it. Anyway, I'm not surprised that Katie Couric is out there saying this, but this woman's irrelevant. I mean, she really is irrelevant. She can't hold a job. And the reason why is she's a very unpleasant individual, and it's really sad. Because I'm sure that when you take away all the makeup and the plastic surgery and all of that, I'm sure at one point she was a very lovely person. But the anger and the hatred and the bitterness, I mean, these people are just bitter. It eats at them. So every time they accuse a Trump supporter of being this way, they're just looking in a mirror. That's all it is. And maybe Katie Couric is jealous because there are so many beautiful conservative women out there who not only have brains, but they have brawn and they have brain power and they have big bank accounts. Maybe that's the problem here. But this is not surprising. You will hear more of this and this is nothing new. This happens every election cycle because they don't believe that you deserve a voice. And when Donald Trump gets up in front of an audience and he says, they're coming after me because they can't come after you. This is what he's talking about. That's what's really going on here. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. We're going to be taking your calls coming up. By the way, I got to tell you about our friends at Newsmax Plus. They have some incredible services thanks to the brand new Newsmax Plus program and app. Have you downloaded the app? If you do, you're going to get the Newsmax channel. You're going to get Newsmax 2. You're going to be able to watch all their great shows along with yours truly, 5 o'clock Eastern and 8 o'clock this week. I'm pulling double duty. You're going to get some incredibly informed opinions from folks like Dick Morris and Mike Huckabee. President Trump says Newsmax Plus is absolutely terrific. You're going to be able to bypass the media. You're going to be able to get the news channels that you want and great documentaries, including the Trump rallies. That's right. Newsmax, we never censor President Trump like the big networks do. So start your free trial today. It costs absolutely nothing. You're going to be able to start it for free. Go to NewsmaxPlus.com to register. That's NewsmaxPlus.com. Download the app and start watching today.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. By the way, head over to the website. We have a brand new stock of books in Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? Get yourself a signed copy. These things are going like hotcakes, but we do have a good brand new supply over at ToddStarns.com in the store. All right, let's go to the phone lines here, and let's start in Houston, Texas. Our brand new affiliate, Patriot Talk 920, Mark is on the line. Hi, Mark. How's it going today?
Well, it's going good. Thanks for being in Houston. We like the newness. My call is in reference to this San Francisco Bridge shutdown. They not only shut down San Francisco Bridge, but there are other bridges that they shut down. I don't know if one was in Miami or if one was in New York.
Yeah, there was Miami. There was the Brooklyn Bridge. I believe SeaTac Airport. There were a number of other areas around the country that were targeted.
Can somebody explain to me how the FBI can't take these three incidents and, in fact, tie them together, which is what looks like it may have very well happened, and they can, in fact, go in to these people's phones that they did arrest and zero it and pinpoint it back to the actual culprit that came up with this concept? Or is this too much for the FBI? I guess I'm going to get myself in trouble now.
No, Mark, look, you're preaching here, and you're preaching a lot of common sense, and you're right. It's very clear all of this was coordinated. There are flyers circulating all over social media. This is not the first time, but they are trying to cause mayhem, and it seems to me they ought to all be arrested, and they ought to be in jail right now.
But they're not telling us who they is. There's a they there that's running this whole operation, and they can pinpoint it by backtracking through telephone communications. Bang.
It's a fair point. Who do you think's behind it, Mark?
It's bigger than, it's bigger kind of than our government is what I'm concerned of.
Mark, I still think all of this goes back to Barack Obama and the people that are backing him, the globalists out there. Obama is an anti-colonialist, just like his father was. And I think they ultimately want to destroy this country. That's, I think that is the ultimate goal here. And I wrote the new book about it, Twilight's Last Gleaming. Can America be saved? And the question is, can we save America? Do we want to save America? I hope we do, which is why we do this radio show every day, is to let people know that America is under attack right now, and the attacks are coming from within, Mark.
Thank you very much for being on in Houston.
Mark, it's an honor. Here's what we're going to do. I want to send Mark a copy of my brand-new book. Mark, it's called Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? We're going to be coming to Houston, so when you get the book, you'll have to bring it, and I'll personally sign it for you. But we're going to let's get Mark a copy, guys, so let's put him on hold. And thank you for listening to us on the great Patriot 920 there in Houston, Texas. 901-260-5926 is our number. Coming up, we're going to be talking to our good buddy Franklin Graham. Just got back from Eastern Europe, and we're going to check in with him. Also, he has something he'd like to say about Katie Couric as well. Our good buddy Andrew Krapiuszewicz from Red Balloon is going to be here. They have some a brand-new survey, and we're going to be sharing that info with you. Remember yesterday we told you about the student. There was a kid, and this kid got in trouble in English class because they used the term illegal alien in an English class. We're going to be talking to State Senator Steve Jarvis out of North Carolina's 29th district there. And the state senator has a few things he would like to say about what happened to this young man. Also, coming up, you know what? We'll play this now. This is Coach Bruce Pearl from the from Auburn University weighing in on Hamas. And I think this is a brilliant observation from the coach. Cut 12.
Young people want a cause. They want to correct apartheid or oppression or a lack of freedom or humanitarian aid for lesser. And there's this thing called intersectionalism, and it blows my mind that somehow there's a connection between the LGBTQ community and Palestinian suffering or Islamic the Islamic cause or Hamas. If you are gay and you are in certain parts of areas controlled by Hamas in Gaza or the Palestinian Authority in certain communities in Judea or Samaria, you're going to be killed. That's not allowed. But yet somehow we can, those groups can come together and just, it's okay to just hate Jews. That's our common denominator. And that's out there. And American Jewry has got to wake up. October 7th and April 13th were enormous wake-up calls for Jewish Americans that don't think the Holocaust is possible again, or that our survival, not only in this country, but even in Israel. Israel's under attack every single day. If we lose Israel, where exactly are we supposed to go? Because in this country right now, there are many elected officials that are supporting Hamas and that are supporting Israel's enemies that call for her death right here in this country. We're seeing death to America chants, death to Israel, death to the Jews. It's not how I want it.
There you go, folks. He's speaking a lot of truth to these young people. And it really is, it just shows you the level of ignorance out there, right? Where these young people, they don't have a clue. They don't know who they're protesting. As a matter of fact, our last caller, Mark, pointed out this is all coordinated, and I believe it is. A lot of these kids are getting paid, ladies and gentlemen, to get out there and protest. They are hired goons. That's what's going on here. All right, 901-260-5926. Let's go to Bill in North Carolina, WSJS. Hi, Bill. What's on your mind?
Well, Todd, I've got a quick question. The new mayor for Memphis, did he recently have a job of steering the ship through the Baltimore Harbor? I'm just curious.
It's a fair question, Bill.
Let me throw one other little anecdote out here real quick.
Sure.
From the days of the Looney Tunes cartoons, remember Foghorn Leghorn, the rooster?
I'll say
Todd. But anyway, he would grab the dog by the tail and bow, 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 pop him, and he'd run as far as he could, and instead of rope line, he knew he was safe. I've kind of seen this as being Foghorn Leghorn being Hamas right now, running up to the U.S. and Israel, pow, 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 and they run as far away as they could and nothing would happen. But that rope line is getting shorter and shorter and shorter, and our dear friend O'Biden and them are just kind of like shorting that up to where Hamas is getting closer.
Yep.
And close to us and are having not to run anymore to hide.
It's a good point, Bill, and that's a good note for us to end this hour on. Thank you for listening. All right, hang tight, everybody. Got to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
Texas, that's right. I love this American ride.
I'm curious about this story. Ben Dieter over at KWAM, our flagship station in Memphis, shared this with me. And maybe this is something new, but I have a question for all of you beautiful ladies in the Todd Starnes Radio Show audience. And by beautiful ladies, I mean all of you. So when you go out on a date, I suspect many of our ladies may be married already. When you were first going out and on a date, you were trying to find your mate. And you went out on a date. Let's just say that a guy came up to you and said, would you like to go out on a date? And you, before you said yes, you asked a series of questions. First and foremost, did you ask to see the guy's bank account? Like, did you say, you know what, I would love to go with, you know, before I answer that question, let's go over to the ATM, put in your card, and I want to see your account balance. So this woman, who is apparently one of these social media influencers on the TikTok, as they call it these days, said that, that she does that. She actually wants to see how much money a guy has in his bank account. Cut number 8.
I'm not joking. I have asked the last 3 dudes I've dated for their bank account info on the first date.
I don't judge people's actions. I look at the intention behind it. So, like, why do you ask for that?
Because I only want to date a wealthy guy that has money.
Valid. So you're getting straight to the point.
I think, you know, I have a job. I'm very successful. So I think I have every right to be like, hi, are we on the same level or am I wasting my time?
Does she have a smoker's voice? A little raspy there.
I need to see your bank account, please.
I'd like to see a scan of your lungs. So I'm curious here. Is this like a new thing, Dylan? You're a Gen Zer. Are you guys? Do the women in your generation, do they ask to see the bank account?
If they did, they'd be severely disappointed.
Really? Is that? We don't pay you that much? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm fine.
Okay, good.
If they did at the time I was dating my fiance, it might have been a problem.
Well, that's fair enough. I mean, that's fair enough. At first I thought, well, maybe she's been on a few of these dates, and let's say they're going out to the Red Lobster. I have a story about that in a moment. Let's say they're going out to the Red Lobster, and, you know, she's ordering, like, Uncle Walt's fried shrimp platter with extra shrimp, and maybe she gets the shrimp cocktail. And then when the bill comes, it turns out he doesn't have any cash. And if that happened a time or two, I can understand why you would want to say, okay, well, how much money do you have? But ladies, I'm curious, does that factor into all of this, whether or not the guy can afford to take you out on a date? You know, I know that I think her motivation is wrong here, but I kind of get where this might be an important thing. because you don't want some sort of a lazy dude, right? You don't want to date a lazy guy. You want a guy that's going to go out there and is going to be a hard worker. And look, that guy may be a hard worker. Maybe you go out to, I don't know, the Bonanza for the all-you-can-eat buffet. That's still good eating. At least you're getting a good meal. What was it a couple of weeks ago? There were the people upset because the guys were taking the girls to the Cheesecake Factory. What's wrong with that? The Cheesecake Factory is a pretty fun place. Once you get through the 72-page menu, what's wrong with Cheesecake Factory? What do they think? Everybody's got to go out to Ruth's Chris on the first date? I don't think so. You know, I did that in New York City once. This old girl wanted to, instead of just going out to dinner, she was a big fan of the Broadway shows. So I'm, those things are not very cheap, let me tell you. So I'm having to fork over big money to take this girl out to the Broadway shows. Then she springs this whole thing like, oh, yeah, I'm also a big Food Network fan, and I love Bobby Flay. So I had to go and get reservations at Bobby Flay's restaurant. By the way, may I just say something as an aside? That was the best hamburger in all of New York City at Bobby Flay's Americana Grill. And I want to say this. You know why? This is a brilliant thing. I don't know. I'm on a big, big tangent here, so bear with me. When they bring, you know how when you get the burger and you get the lettuce and the tomato and the onion and the pickles, and then, you know, the burger's really tall and it's hard to, you don't want to squish it all down. So it's kind of, it's hard to maneuver the burger. You know what they do at Bobby Flay's joint? This is brilliant. They hew out the top bun. So when you set the bun down, all the sides, all the fixins are like under the bun. It's a brilliant strategy. Anyway, I digress. What were we talking about? Oh, yes. So anyway, I'm spending all this money. And by the way, I'm ordering the burger at Bobby Flay's Americana. She's getting like the ribeye. So finally, I don't know, I was in the middle of a campaign. And so I had to fly out. I was flying all over the country. And so she starts going out with this other guy. And she sends me a note and she says, I just got engaged. And I'm like, that was 2 weeks ago. We were at Bobby Flay's joint. And I said, what? She goes, I met this guy, and he knows how much I love picking apples. And so he took me to an apple farm. And I'm like, what a cheap, sorry so-and-so. I'm having to spring a couple of $100 for Mamma Mia tickets, and God knows I hate ABBA. I can't stand Swedish pop music. I'm spending hundreds of dollars, and you're telling me I could have taken it down to the produce section at Kroger and spent $2 on a bag of apples? I thought I was over that. Clearly not. All that to say, what were we talking about? Oh, yes. So, ladies, I'm curious, does it concern you? Is that an issue? Does that factor into whether or not you will go out with the person based on whether or not they have cash in their bank account? 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. You know, the other reason I don't like ABBA music, Dylan, it's a very practical thing. So when I had open heart surgery years ago, this is May 17th, 2005 to be exact, had open heart surgery, and the doctor, the surgeon came in as we were doing all the prep, and he says, so what kind of music do you listen to? And I said, well, I said, whatever music you want to listen to, doc, because you're the one that doesn't need to lose your concentration. So whatever you want to listen to, heavy metal, you name it. So it turns out the heart surgeon, who's one of the best heart surgeons in California, which is where I had to have this heart surgery, it turns out he was a big ABBA fan. And the only reason I knew this is that they were recording the surgery, the actual heart surgery, for this documentary. And so after it was all over and done with, they played it back for me. And there was this moment in the surgery where they're getting ready to, you know, they have the surgical saw and they have to saw you open, right? And so anyway, they're playing Dancing Queen. Dylan, I want you to, let's find Dancing Queen real fast, and we'll set all of this up. So as soon as we have Dancing Queen, just start playing it, and I will finish the rest of the story. But this was it was a traumatic moment for me because, again, I was 37 years old, having open heart surgery. I had gone into the doctor thinking I had bronchitis, and all of a sudden the doctor was like, yeah, you got a couple of weeks to live. And I'm like, how about Robitussin? No, you can't do that. So anyway, I'm watching the documentary. And there I am, splayed out on the surgical table, and you hear Dancing Queen in the background, and the doctors are like, scalpel, there's scalpel. Is he out? Is he knocked out? They're punching me. He's not moving. He's unconscious. And then all of a sudden, you hear the surgical saw just... I hate Dancing Queen. Even on Broadway, it's worse. When you see it on stage, way too much spandex.
Some PTSD right there.
A little TS. So I'm at the Broadway show, and all of a sudden I had a flashback. It's terrible. Anyway, that's the story of my life. All that to say, I'm single, and I don't like Swedish pop music. 901-260-5926, whatever the hell we're talking about here, ladies and gentlemen. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Oh, Lord, this sounds like ABBA. I want to go down to IKEA and buy something. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Grace Baker says, "Why did Dancing Queen? What did Dancing Queen ever do to you?" And then she heard the monologue. She says, "Oh, my question has been answered." Vicky Gandy, by the way, great realtor. GoTeamGandy.com. That's Gandy with two E's, no Y. She says, "Todd, we Southern girls don't ask to see their bank account. That would be tacky. We know to ask the right questions gracefully and tactfully and get the info we need." Wow, what kind of questions? Do they grill you? Is that? Wow. I wonder what sort of questions they ask to get to the bottom line there. Interesting. All right. Where were we? Oh, yes. NPR. We've got to get around. We've got to talk about NPR. So there has been a big controversy over at NPR about the direction that they are going. Yuri Berliner, who was a longtime employee, has now become a whistleblower. And he said, hey, look, these people are more far left than you can imagine. They're not a liberal anymore. They're leftist over at NPR. And he just blew the whistle. Big, huge story. So then he got in trouble, and now he's out of a job. The headline today is Yuri Berliner is now unemployed. They say he resigned, but it was, I don't know, it was sort of abrupt. Anyway, this wackadoodle woman who runs NPR now, her name is Catherine Mayer, and she says that she finds the First Amendment to be a nuisance, cut number 21.
The number one challenge here that we see and is, of course, the First Amendment in the United States is a fairly robust protection of rights. And that is a protection of rights both for platforms, which I actually think is very important that platforms have those rights to be able to regulate what kind of content they want on their sites. But it also means that it is a little bit tricky to really address some of the real challenges of where does bad information come from and sort of the influence peddlers who have made a real market economy around it.
So anyway, they have no Republicans on staff there. None whatsoever at all. None, period. And that's the whole point of this is that they say that they are diverse, but they're not. As a matter of fact, Catherine Mayer went on to say, and by the way, she used to run Wikipedia. Those people are evil. You know, I threatened to sue them, and so they blocked me because they have all these lies on my Wikipedia page, and they can't be corrected. And I said, look, if you're not going to do this, I'm going to have to sue you because people read this nonsense. And they blocked me. I'm banned for life from Wikipedia. Anyway, cut 22.
But what about the hard things, the places where we are prone to disagreement, say politics and religion? Well, as it turns out, not only does Wikipedia's model work there, it actually works really well. Because in our normal lives, these contentious conversations tend to erupt over disagreement about what the truth actually is. But the people who write these articles, they're not focused on the truth. They're focused on something else, which is the best of what we can know right now. And after 7 years of working with these brilliant folks, I've come to believe that they are onto something, that perhaps for our most tricky disagreements, seeking the truth and seeking to convince others of the truth might not be the right place to start. In fact, our reverence for the truth might be a distraction that's getting in the way of finding common ground and getting things done.
Oh, my Lord.
Now, that is not to say that the truth doesn't exist, nor is it to say that the truth isn't important. Clearly, the search for the truth has led us to do great things, to learn great things. But I think if I were to really ask you to think about this, one of the things that we could all acknowledge is that part of the reason we have such glorious chronicles to the human experience and all forms of culture is because we acknowledge there are many different truths. And so in the spirit of that, I'm certain that the truth exists for you and probably for the person sitting next to you. But this may not be the same truth. This is because the truth of the matter is very often, for many people, what happens when we merge facts about the world with our beliefs about the world. So we all have different truths. They're based on things like where we come from, how we were raised, and how other people perceive us.
So, welcome to NPR, where truth is irrelevant. You have your truth, I have my truth. Everybody has their own truth. There's no such thing as absolute truth anymore. This is NPR. Coming up next, a delicious recipe for sweaty balls. So, you know, I get it. I understand why this gal here is in charge of NPR. And it reminds me, a couple of years ago, well, many years ago, I was assigned to cover Hillary Clinton. She was doing a swing up through Vermont or New Hampshire. Oh, it's New Hampshire. University of Southern New Hampshire. And so we're all there setting up, and they had all the radio people, which was me and a couple of NPR gals from NPR New Hampshire. And I could tell right away, there were two of them, and then they had an engineer guy, and he was cool. But these two reminded me of the characters on Saturday Night Live, hawking the sweaty balls. I mean, they were like spit and image. One of them was wearing a plaid shirt, and the other was wearing a hemp sweater. One smelled like Pine Sol, and the other patchouli. And so I'm trying to be nice, you know me. And I'm sitting, and I'm like, hello, ladies. How dare you be presumptuous? Who do you think you are calling us ladies? Oh, pardon me. Whoa, sorry, sir. But it was that kind of an attitude, right? Just very like, you know, they look down on you. It's as if we're some sort of a lower class because, you know, we're not NPR. And so anyway, I remember I went out. I was Hillary Clinton. She was a cheap sorry so-and-so. They didn't feed the press. We had to go out and we had to fend for ourselves. So I went over to the student center and the restaurants were closed. The only thing, they had a little store there, a little bodega. So I got a sleeve of Oreo cookies, and it wasn't even double stuff. It was regular stuff. And I go back, and you could tell they were starving. Well, except for the one in the plaid sweater. She could survive for a couple of months. But anyway, I offered them. I was just trying to be neighborly, and I said, NPR ladies, would you like some delicious Oreo cookies? And the one that smelled like patchouli, she says, we don't eat hydrogenated food. And then the engineer says, hey, I'll get in on some of that. And I'm like, well, good for you. So we sat there and we enjoyed some great, great Oreos, and they starved to death. Well, except for the one in plaid. She could go on for a little while. All that to say, I don't feel bad for Yuri Berliner, because, look, we all know NPR is as far left as the day is long. And my problem is that our tax dollars are having to fund this nonsense. And I don't know why the Republicans are so afraid of defunding NPR and PBS. If Big Bird wants a show, he ought to pay for it himself, or whatever his pronoun is. All right, got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. And coming up, taking a break this week, but we're back out on the book tour, and we are hitting about 5 or 6 or 7 spots in North Carolina. Very excited about the North Carolina leg of the Twilight's Last Gleaming book tour. So we'll have all the information over at toddstearns.com. Be sure to check that out. And you can also get yourself a copy of the book, a signed copy, over at toddstearns.com. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. Talk about a very busy man. Want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to our good friend, Franklin Graham, just back from Eastern Europe. Franklin, good to have you with us.
Well, thank you, Todd. Good to be with you.
You know, Franklin, I'm just curious. How long does it take you to get over the jet lag? You're traveling all over the world these days.
Well, you know, I think jet lag, for anyone who travels, no question, it bothers you. But I try, when I get to a country, I try to adjust immediately. So whatever time I arrive, that's in my brain. That's what I start focusing on, not what time it is at home. And a lot of people try to look over their shoulder what time is at home. It doesn't matter. Go by the time where you are at that moment, and it helps.
Now, I know you're like a McDonald's super fan, and I saw some pictures on the social media. So you actually found a McDonald's over there.
They've got some great McDonald's. And let me say something about Poland. Poland is a clean country, nice people, very polite people. They've got a great McDonald's in the country, and they have fried apple pies. And we used to have fried apple pies in this country, and I guess that they quit making them fried apple pies because they want to be healthier, so they bake them. But if you go to McDonald's, I don't think you're really worried about the health issues. I mean, you want a good meal. And they've got the old-fashioned fried apple pies, and I love them.
Well, it's folks, if you're not following Franklin Graham on social media, you're really missing a lot. Great fun stuff, and also incredibly insightful content as well. I want to talk about the God Loves You tour in just a moment, but you did weigh in on these comments from Katie Couric, and she's attacking MAGA people who want to make America great again. And we've all heard the attacks before, but she's basically saying we're all just a bunch of dumb country bumpkins.
Well, and that's unfortunate, because she's no question, she's a very wealthy lady. And she looks down on people who certainly have less than her. And, you know, the people that want to make America great again, it's not so much Donald Trump. They just want to see a strong economy. They want a president who's going to lower taxes. They want a president that's going to get the government out of their pocketbook, get the government regulations rolled back, so that people can be productive and have a chance at life. And, you know, the big problem that we're facing in this country is, no question, is gas. And you see the government pushing electric cars, and I'm not against electric cars. That's going to come in down the road eventually. But the government doesn't have to force it. It will take place in the marketplace by itself as people look for alternatives. But to stop using fossil fuels, or try to prevent people from using fossil fuels while raising the tax so high that people who make a fixed wage, like she was talking about, they have to pay a third more for fuel than they did just under President Trump. And so that hurts their pocketbook. So, yes, the what she said, the gap is getting wider. But it's because of the Democrats, and it's because of Joe Biden and their socialistic economy that they want to force on all of us.
And not only that, Franklin, but when you look at the attacks on people of faith, the idea that we are literally jailing people for praying outside abortion clinics, it's just really unacceptable that this is happening in America.
Well, it's because of they're pushing a communist agenda. And that's what it's not liberals anymore, and it's not liberals versus conservatives. You have a socialist in running our government, and many of them want to really, I think they would like to see us turn into a communist state, very much like the Chinese Communist Party, where you have a dictator making all the decisions. And I think that's what they would like to have.
I want to talk about this incredible life-changing tour that you just got back from, the God Loves You tour, thousands of people coming out in Poland, and I'm curious about the response here. I understand a lot of people accepted Christ as their Savior at the events.
It was incredible. You know, my father was there on October 12th, 1978, and he was preaching in Krakow at the same time that Pope John Paul II was at the conclave where he was nominated as Pope John Paul II. And so my father was actually preaching in his cathedral at that time. And the two of them became very, very close. And the people of Poland loved my father because he came to Poland during communism. He was not afraid to identify with the suffering of the people of Eastern Europe at that time. And so the door has been wide open to me. This is preached in Krakow, Katowice, and now they're in Krakow. And we've just had an incredible support from all the churches. And it was just a blessing to be there. And we had over 800 people. Well, it was over 900, almost 1,000 people at the invitation who came forward to who were wanting to be prayed for, who were wanting to receive Jesus Christ. Not everybody that comes forward is receiving Christ as their Savior, but many of them are coming forward because they want to be prayed for. They want assurance. They want to be assured that their salvation is secure, and so they have questions, and they want someone to pray for them. But we have the vast majority are coming forward for the first time to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior.
What do you make of the young people? I was looking at a lot of the images on the Billy Graham website, and so many young people in the audience.
There's a lot of young people, and young people today are searching. I see this. You know, Europe is, there's been a spiritual vacuum in Europe now for a long time, and I find that there's a hunger in Europe. And in Poland, there is a hunger. Remember, they came out of, 70 years of communism. Even though we're past that for some time, there's still the effects of it. And people are searching, what are the answers to life? Why am I here? What's my purpose? Is there a God? If there is a God, can I talk to him? And when you tell them that, yes, there is a God, and he loves us, and he cares for us, and he sent his son, Jesus Christ, from heaven to this earth, to take our sins. Jesus Christ came on a rescue ministry to save mankind by taking the sins of mankind, going to the cross, dying and shedding his blood on a Roman cross and being buried, took our sins to the grave, and on the third day walking out of that grave, God raising him to life. And if we are willing to confess, just confess it, just admit to our sin and be willing to turn and by faith believe on Jesus Christ, God will forgive our sins. And he'll heal our hearts, and he'll give us a new life and a new beginning, and he will promise us eternal life. And that's what people want to hear. And when they hear that, and they've never heard that before, they receive it with joy.
Yeah, it's a life-changing message. Folks, if you would like information, billygraham.org, billygraham.org, the information from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, you'll be able to read some incredible stories about what God is doing out there across the world. And Franklin, we always appreciate you coming on the program and sharing the gospel message. And man, God bless you. And where are you off to next?
Well, I'm home for a few days now, so I'm trying to catch up on things. And then I'll be going back to Europe this summer. And I will be preaching in the UK, be in Glasgow and in Birmingham. So looking forward to that. And then just a lot of things here at home I got to do.
I understand. Well, Franklin, God bless you again. And we appreciate you and safe travels out there.
God bless you. Thank you, Todd.
All right. Franklin Graham, everybody. And what an incredible story. And just hundreds and hundreds of people turning their hearts to God. You know, it's interesting, and again, I write about this issue in Twilight's Last Gleaming, that we are battling communism in this country, and I really appreciate Franklin affirming that this is what's happening in America right now. To see people embracing God in Krakow and across Eastern Europe, this was an area, a region, that was devastated by the communists. And now the entire region is flourishing. People are returning to God. They're getting back to church. And what an incredible story. All right, real quick, let's go to Diane in Maine, WLOB. Hi, Diane. What's going on?
Hi, Todd. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
That's good. Well, I just wanted to correct you on something.
Uh-oh.
You always correct me about my language up here in Maine, my accent. I think Abba is pronounced Abba.
Oh, is it Abba? Abba? Abba?
I think so.
Oh, geez, Alou. Abba also, is biblical, I think.
And I felt very inspired by Franklin Graham's speech there. That was wonderful, Todd.
Right?
But I'd also like, to comment on the woman that looks at a man's bank account before she goes out with him.
Yes.
My husband and I met him working on my car. He invited me to lunch. I thought it might be a dinner, but it was a sandwich shop. And we've been married for 50 years.
Is that right?
So
must have been a good sandwich.
It was, and it still is. And I'd also like to comment on America's sweetheart, Katie Couric, who has turned into the most narcissistic, self-indulgent old bag who thinks she is so much better than MAGA Republicans. She couldn't even begin to touch us.
Well said, Diane, and we've got to leave it there. I'm super late for a break, Diane, but I wanted to get your call in. God bless you. Congratulations on that very happy marriage, and you got to let me know what that sandwich shop is. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. I'm curious, how would you judge Gen Z employees? Well, our good friends over at redballoon.work have conducted a poll, 80,000 business owners, and they graded Gen Z as a generation of workers compared to others. I want to bring into the conversation the chief executive officer of Red Balloon, Andrew Krapuschets. Andrew, hope you're doing well today. Good to have you back with us.
Thanks for having me, Todd. And yes, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show.
All right, let's jump into this. So you guys, you went out there and you polled business owners about Gen Z. What information were you looking for?
Well, we actually were asking about not just Gen Z, but all the generations. So millennials and Gen Ys and baby boomers. And we just said, hey, what are the most reliable demographic of employees when you're looking for a new person or someone who's already inside your business? We ask things about mental health issues. And unfortunately, the Gen Zs are a group of people that generally these freedom economy businesses are not excited about. 68% of these small business owners said they're less reliable than all of their other employees, which is pretty dramatic. 71% of these employers said that Gen Zs are more likely to have mental health issues in the workplace. Less than 4% said the Gen Zs were the most aligned with their workplace culture. 62% said Gen Zs are the most likely to cause division in a toxic workplace. And then last, 57% said the Gen Zs are more likely to be a risk of a workplace lawsuit. And I don't know if our listeners know, but do you know that 75% of all businesses in America over the last 5 years have had some workplace labor-based lawsuit? And so these Gen Z, this category of young people, a lot of our businesses are saying are the most likely to bring one of those lawsuits. So unfortunately, not a very stellar scorecard for this group of young workers.
No, what are they suing over? That's crazy.
No, it really is. So and if you look into the study, and this is coming out of EEOC and some other reports, to say it's based on misgendering, sexual orientation, not giving them the appropriate credibility for their culture or their nationality. And so you have America has kind of turned into this very litigious society where you sue for anything. If you get a bad report card, you sue for that. Well, employees are seeing this as a way when they come in as entitled. And unfortunately, so these Gen Z workers, they've grown up on social media. They've spent a lot of time getting this distorted view of the world in that place. And then they go to universities and they get yet another distorted view of the world. Then they get to the workplace and find out that, in fact, it actually is really hard. You have to show up and do what you say you're going to do. And they don't like that. And so they bring a lawsuit to hopefully pay their bills while they not work. And so, unfortunately, that's that's the bad side of the Gen Zs. The good thing that we're finding, Todd, is that when we talk to our employers, they say the one big caveat on all this is if you can find the right Gen Z worker, if you can find that right young worker, you're going to find that they understand technology, they innovate, they are cheerful, they love working. And so there is still a minority of these people that are the awesome, sometimes the best worker in your business. You just need to spend a little bit more time looking for them and screening for them to make sure you don't get a Gen Z dud.
Interesting. Dylan, are you cheerful? I have a large Gen Z staff here, Andrew, and everybody seems to be working hard. So I think we're kind of blessed.
You got the good
here.
Ones.
Yeah, we got the good ones. I found this fascinating. You said 60% of employers said they'd rather be understaffed with less people, less problems, than poorly staffed with more employees and more problems.
That's right. That's right. So these employers are finding that. So we did a study showing that the cost of a bad hire. So if you get the wrong person within your four walls, that can cost upwards of $21,000. And some studies say that it's even as high as the full salary of the person that was the bad hire. That's what the cost of the business is going to be. And we feel that, right? Because you have customers who are going to get a bad experience because they are dealing with this bad employee. You have your good employees are now having to deal with this bad employee. And so as we kind of talk to these employers, they say, look, we would rather have extra hours that we personally need to work. We would rather have fewer customers and a great experience at work where we have a good culture, where just the whole vibe at the office is what it needs to be. We'd rather that than have the wrong person come in the door. But we all know what it's like when you're an employer and you've got a lot of customers coming in and you're struggling, whether you're a contractor or whatever it is, you're desperate to hire someone. Unfortunately, if you hire the wrong person, it's going to be detrimental to your business. Your customers are going to get a bad experience. Your good employees are going to hate it. And so that's our encouragement to people is you don't have to choose between being understaffed or poorly staffed. You can actually find the people you need, obviously. Right. I'm biased in this, but redballoon.org can help with that. But there is a way to find the good people. And if you do that, your business is really going to thrive.
All right. I've got about 20 seconds here. Real quick, what are people going to find when they go to redballoon.org?
They're going to find a pro-freedom job board where we have thousands of employers and millions of job seekers who care about America and care about freedom. There's also a ton of resources like this survey, the Employee Bill of Rights, and more. So I would encourage you to go there, check it out, even if you're not looking for a job. And if you're an employer, it's where you're going to find your next best employee.
I love this. And, folks, I would encourage you, if you are looking for good workers, go to redballoon.org. Or if you're a good worker and you're looking for a job, go to redballoon.org. Use my code STARNES, STARNES. Use my code STARNES, and you're going to get 10 free profile search credits, which is a pretty good deal. So, again, got to use my code STARNES. Andrew, congratulations, man. You guys are crushing it over at Red Balloon. We really appreciate the great work you're doing for America.
Thanks so much, Todd, and nice to talk to you.
All right, Andrew Krampuschets, who is the CEO of Red Balloon. Go check this out. This is really an awesome website, redballoon.org. And be sure to use my code STARNES to get those profile search credits. We'll be right back, folks.
Live from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American.
You know what I love about Franklin Graham? He was just on the program, and this guy is just the real deal. A lot of these religious leaders, they love to stay at the fancy highfalutin hotels, and they eat over at Morton's and Ruth's Chris, maybe even Red Lobster. But not Franklin Graham. He goes and he loves McDonald's. He is a McDonald's super fan. And I love the fact that he's still outraged over the fact they don't fry their apple pies here in America anymore. It's true they don't, and they're not as good. They're right. Exactly. Dylan is agreeing here. And the one drawback, and I think the reason why they stopped doing the fried apple pies actually was the lawsuits, because they're 2,000 degrees and they never cool down, right? It's true. but they sure are good. Anyway, it was great to have Franklin Graham on the show. And if you missed the interview, go over to our website, toddstearns.com, and you'll be able to listen to that interview. Also, the report coming out of Krakow, Poland, from the incredible events they had over there. All right, a few days ago, we told you about this young man, this teenager from North Carolina. He was in his English class, and they were doing a vocabulary lesson, and the teacher mentioned the word alien, and the kid said, "Are you talking about space aliens or illegal aliens who don't have green cards?" And so the kid got suspended. And it's caused a lot of controversy. A lot of people now rile up about this on social media. I want to bring into the conversation State Senator Steve Jarvis from North Carolina, represents the state's 29th district. Senator Jarvis, good to have you with us today.
Thank you. Great to be here this afternoon.
Well, Senator, let's just jump into this. When you heard about what happened to this kid, what was going through your mind?
Well, I did not think that happened in Davidson County. And so the first thing I did was contact the school superintendent, which I felt like I needed to make him aware of the situation. I did so. He was unaware, said he would get back to me. I told him that I understand there's different sides to every story, so I don't know the specifics. And I don't want to get into the specifics because I wasn't there.
So, in other words, it was a pretty reasonable thing and a pretty common sense approach. What did the superintendent tell you? Did you get any feedback?
He got back to me later, and he said that there was more than to the story than met the eye. However, according to FERPA, he was unable to get into any of the situation.
It is certainly an odd story, and the young man and his mom, I think she posted the story on social media. Have you had a chance to connect at all with the mom or the student?
I have not spoken to the mother or any of the family as far as the student. I have seen the communication, and, you know, from what is stated, I am currently looking into the state policies and what in the state statute. I understand it looks like there's no appeal process. And just looking into what can be done potentially.
And again, you're right. There's always another side to the story. Sometimes there's not. Sometimes the way it's been presented is the way it happened. And I would say, just based on what the student and the mom are alleging, that this kid got in trouble for saying illegal alien. Do you think that a kid should get in trouble for saying something like that in a classroom?
I do not. Illegal alien, I don't see that would be an offensive statement to anyone, and he was asking based on a English class, and I, in the specific situation, I don't see that illegal alien should ever be considered a insensitive racial comment.
I'm just curious, Senator, in from your position in at the State House, are you seeing across North Carolina, are you seeing this wokeness creeping into some school districts, some schools in your state?
We have seen that in some areas of our state.
Is there anything that you guys at the state level there in the state Senate can do? Can you guys do stage any sort of an intervention?
I believe that the Board of Governors may be discussing DEI and whether or not they continue to even have DEI agents or, you know, personnel.
Wow. All right. Well, what a crazy story. And we're waiting to hear back from the school district as well. But again, it looks as though, unless the school can prove otherwise, that this young man got in trouble for using the term illegal alien in his English class. Unbelievable. Well, Senator Jarvis, we appreciate you coming on the program today.
Well, thank you, and glad to be of any help.
All right. State Senator Steve Jarvis there in North Carolina. What a weird story. And then there's another story in Winston-Salem. And we've got a lot of listeners there on WSJS, where a teacher and folks, you just can't, you can't make this stuff up. A teacher was brutally attacked. There was a this kid, and he goes over, and all of this is filmed. And we're going to be posting the video on ToddStearns.com just momentarily. But a teacher was assaulted by a student not once but twice. And now we understand that the student has been arrested. This happened in Forsyth County at Parkland High School. And the sheriff is weighing in. He says, while we all agree this incident was deplorable and outrageous to the community and community organizations, all of us should be outraged when those who educate us can be assaulted. We should hold those who teach and educate our children to the highest regard. And our hope and prayer is that the sheriff's office is that we recognize that we as a community must bring order not only to our community, but our children. In other words, the sheriff there in Forsyth County, North Carolina, is saying, stop raising hellions. Do your job. Spank your children. No, he didn't say that. But again, remember back in the day, can we just go back to the 1970s for just a moment? When I was growing up, we had something called corporal punishment. And basically, and for our Gen Z listeners, corporal punishment was that they beat the living daylights out of you. You did something wrong, you got the paddle. And at Hope P. Sullivan Elementary School in South Haven, Mississippi, you didn't mess with the principal. He patrolled those hallways with a fiberglass paddle that had holes drilled in it, so you weren't even going to get that cushion of air between you, your buttocks, and the paddle. It was like, boom! So we don't have that anymore. Right? And I don't know, maybe this is just me. Maybe I am the only person in America that actually had this kind of a situation. But if you got in trouble at school, they picked up the phone and they called your mom. And when you got home, you got it twice as bad as what you got at the school. Maybe that's just me, but I suspect it happened to some of you folks as well. It happened to me a couple of times. I was a slow learner, but I picked up pretty quick. I'm just saying, there's something to be said for the words, son, go get me the belt. That will strike fear in the hearts of every child in America. And the problem is we don't do that anymore. How dare you? Who do you think you are? My child has a right to slap you because you're the teacher. You have no rights. You probably said something to hurt my little boy's feelings. Come along, Lucifer. That's how people are these days, right? Their children could do no wrong. You see, back in the day, whether you think this is good or not, but back in the day, this is how it worked. You got called in, mom, dad, you get called to the principal's office, and the first thing your mother would say, what did you do? But now it's like, my child can do no wrong. My child is pure and holy. It's the teacher's fault. It would, but back in the day, it was like, what did he do? What did he do? We got to get back to that. Because now in Forsyth County, North Carolina, you've got little thugs, pardon me, little thuglings. Those are the underage thugs. And you've got these juvenile thuglings, and they're out there beating the living daylights out of the teacher. So here's what gets me, and you got to go watch this video. The teacher's just sitting there, and she's just taking it. And it just seems to me, if you're a teacher, and you've got a student, and that student punches you, and you're still alive and awake, then don't you have a fiduciary responsibility to beat the living crap out of that kid? I mean, once they attack you, I'm just asking. I'm just asking a question. I don't know what the rules are these days in the high schools. The superintendent told the JournalNow.com, this behavior will not be tolerated. At no time is it acceptable for students to put their hands on a teacher in Winston-Salem, Forsyth County Schools. I mean, I felt bad for the teacher, But the kid, so here's the kid's been charged with one count of communicating threats and two counts of, get this, misdemeanor assault. The kid beat the living daylights out of this teacher, and it's just a misdemeanor? Why isn't this kid facing felony charges? That's what I want to know. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Do you really, you know, I really do think that if we bring back corporal punishment, that that could solve a lot of the problems happening in our classrooms. What say you? We'll be right back. I think the only way to restore law and order in these classrooms is to bring back corporal punishment. Again, if we put the fear of God in the children, maybe they won't grow up to be hellions. Let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Jim in Maine, WLOB, our great station there. Hi, Jim. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. Great to talk with you. What's on my mind is I'm right behind you in your statements of how it used to be and how we were raised. I'm 60. I'm from the brutal town of Boston back then. If you weren't from Southie, you didn't go. If you weren't Irish, and you didn't go into Southie. If you weren't Italian, you didn't go into Little Italy. You didn't go into Somerville. You know, there was lots of fights. But the one thing that I learned in fighting was, and my father taught me, that as long as, even if you lose the fight, as long as you hurt them once bad enough that they think twice about coming at you again, that's all you need to do. And these teachers, they don't need to have a gun. They don't need to. Most of these teachers that are in these high schools, they can't defend themselves against high school kids. But, you know, sometimes that rule just has to be put into play, Todd, and we would have our fight. Right. And we would, then the respect would come afterwards. And that's just how it goes. And if you get someone good enough, themselves and everyone else will always think twice about coming back after you again. And these teachers have to defend themselves or learn to defend themselves, because this seems to be a rising thing. Back then when we were kids, Todd, kids respected adults and teachers. They don't now. And that respect isn't there. They pull out a knife or a gun and shoot you or whatever. And it's, you know, that old time learning how we grew up is over. But these facts still remain.
Jim, they don't respect anybody. They don't respect, you know, these kids are being raised to think that they are all that the world revolves around them. And I grew up in a time where if you are a kid and you're at the dinner table, you don't speak unless you're spoken to.
Yep, we were, you know, when dad comes home, that's it.
That's it.
Mom reports and everyone pays the fiddler.
It's true.
But there was seven kids in my family, Todd, and we all are doing so well. We've done good in life. We are respectful of people, and we learned the hard way. I got in a lot of fights when I was a kid defending my sisters and my brothers, and maybe a few fights that I shouldn't have been where I was at the time, but that's how it was. And then we had the respect of each other, kids in school, bullies, people who bully you. This goes all the way to everything. Look at Trump. You know what I mean? Look at when you push back, the people think twice about coming at you again. And that's just how people have to be now.
It's true. All right, Jim, appreciate that call. And by the way, we have the video up on our website now. The headline, North Carolina teen brutally assaults teacher in classroom. I just don't get the teacher. The kid punched her once and then came back at her again. If nothing else, I would have had, I don't know, a baseball bat or something there to protect yourself. Just because you're a teacher doesn't mean you have to be, you know, knocked upside the head. Just knocked her glasses off. So what do you think here, folks? Should we reinstate corporal punishment? Is that the answer here? 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Oh, Newt Gingrich, Speaker Newt on Fox, And he wants to deport all of these people that are shouting death to America. Cut 16.
I think we ought to go back and learn the lessons of the 1930s. Franklin Delano Roosevelt was faced with a Nazi effort inside the United States. They locked people up. If I believe, frankly, we should say, if you are for the victory of Iran, if you want to scream death to America, we're deporting you. If you're an American, we're going to try you for treason. You can't get up and say death to America as an American citizen. And it's time that we were prepared to defend the survival of the United States. And I think it's time we confronted head on a president who clearly, on every single front, from Ukraine, where he favors Russia, to what's happened in Afghanistan, where in the end he favored the Taliban, to what's happening in Gaza, where he favors Hamas, to what's happening with Iran, where he favors the Iranians. On every front, Joe Biden is on the side of the people who hate America.
Yeah, well, it's true. Yes, I mean, he's absolutely right. And I'm with Speaker Newt on this. If you hate America and you're chanting death to America, you're burning our flag, okay, goodbye. Go to Gaza. We'll even fly you over there. We'll ship you over to Gaza. But if you think it's so great over there, you go live there. That's all I'm saying. By the way, have you noticed that where are all the pro-Palestinian people? Why aren't they over in Gaza? Why aren't they holding the press conferences? Right? Because everybody knows, even the people in the Middle East, they know. The Arab nations, they know what's going down. Why do you think folks like Jordan were helping out, Saudi Arabia were helping out Israel? Because they know. They know how dangerous these people are. All right, hang tight, everybody. Got to take a quick break. 901-260-5926. Hey, go to the website, watch that video, and give me a call. What do you think that teacher should have done after hit number one? We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Let's go right to the phones. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Jim in Georgia. Jim, what's on your mind?
Well, I see how much money we're spending on Ukraine. And to get to the point, I love your show.
Thank you.
But to get to the point, I think it's a valuable exercise when we compare money the government is spent, our money the government is spending, to where else they could spend it. And I did some quick math on the government spending some $100 billion in Ukraine. And if they were to instead spend $200,000 per family for housing, that same amount of money could have provided homes for 500,000 families in the United States of America. And I think it's just an interesting thing to compare where we're spending our money to where we could spend it.
Well, it's a fair thought here, Jim, and I've been a huge proponent of this. I mean, until we're taking care of all of our veterans, until they have the best medical care and health care around, I don't think we ought to be spending money anywhere else. We've got to take care of our own people first.
Yes, sir. 100%. Protect them and serve them.
All right. Jim, appreciate that call, and thank you for that good word. And look, I have no beef with Ukrainians except that they're a corrupt government. I've got no beef with anybody. I'm just saying that what we ought to be doing here is taking care of the American citizen first. That's all I'm after. And it really devastates me to see these veterans, many of whom are homeless, many of whom are dealing with medical conditions. They're waiting days and weeks, months to get health care. It's just not right. And so I'm not quite sure why it's so difficult for our elected leaders to understand that. But that's ultimately the reality of where we are right now. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Now, on top of all of that, we have a lot happening on Capitol Hill. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Congressman Bob Good joins us. Congressman, hope you're doing well.
Good afternoon. Great to be with you. Yes, sir. Hope you are.
Well, Congressman, I'm doing well. I saw the House Freedom Caucus statement about Mike Johnson earlier today. So where are we with the Ukraine-Israel aid package and the border funding?
Well, I'm sorry to report, and I feel like I have to preface so many of my reports right now with starting with sorry, but I'm sorry to report that this is going to be an America Last package. We were supposed to be finished tomorrow night, Thursday night, and then head back to our district. We got events in our district on Friday, and instead we're going to stay two extra days. We're going to be here till Saturday night. I'm not sure we've done that in my 3 years in Congress where we stayed two extra days that weren't scheduled, but no sympathy from anybody listening, of course, but two extra days not to do something for Americans, not to do something for our country, but we're going to stay two extra days so that we can fund Ukraine, something that divides Americans, certainly divides Republicans, so that we can not secure our border or do anything to improve our national security from that standpoint. We're going to borrow the money, some $100 billion, and we're going to do it predominantly with Democrat votes once again when we have the House majority. So that is the status of it. That decision was made, I guess, or announced this morning. We tried to persuade the Speaker to take a different track and offered him options that we felt like were reasonable and possible to that would be more responsible fiscally and put our interests first as a nation. And so, unfortunately, we did not prevail.
Congressman, has Speaker Johnson been compromised?
I don't know. I assess the actions and attack the actions without trying to get into what the motivations may be. He wants Ukraine funding seemingly as badly as the Democrats do, so therefore he has no leverage to get something in exchange for Ukraine funding, as he promised to do with the border. Remember, we tried to get him to utilize the must-pass spending bills as it relates to funding the government, the series of continuing resolutions and what ended up being the minibus, the omnibus split into two that was passed in March. But he didn't want to utilize the spending appropriations process to fight for border security. But he promised, remember, repeatedly he promised, well, we will that the border was the hill we would die on, and we would use the supplemental battle. We would use the Ukraine desire from the Democrats to get border security. And yet we have surrendered and capitulated on that. And in part because he wants Ukraine to be funded as much as the Democrats do, apparently. And so once again, he's telling the American people, we will fight later. We will fight next year that, hey, the only way we're going to get border security, we've got to win the White House, win the Senate, and retain control of the House. But I would submit that the way to do that is to honor the trust the American people placed in us, to fight for them, even if we lose. We're going to lose some fights. But, of course, we'll lose every fight that we don't enter.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And again, it's just all I'm a little put out here by Speaker Johnson, his behavior. Still puzzled. I just it doesn't make any sense. You know, he was opposed to a lot of this stuff. He becomes Speaker, and then all of a sudden he supports it. Is he giving you guys any indication of why he's changing his positions on all of these big issues?
Yeah, that's a great point. And, you know, there's when you have one house of one branch, or in our case, the House, and they've got the Senate and the White House, you can't, you know, things that we want and that we believe in that honor our principles and our ideology that we pass out of the House that are messaging bills, just noise, the Senate just doesn't take those up. So you've only got a handful of bills or leverage points that are sort of must pass, the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act, the extension or reauthorization of FISA, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, that was last week, and the spending bills. And in this case, again, they're the Democrats' insatiable desire to send, borrow and send tens of billion dollars more over to Ukraine. All of those you could utilize to fight for something that you wanted and at least split the difference. In these cases, I think for FISA, for example, what we voted on last week, the Speaker spent 7 years on the Judiciary Committee holding the view that we were fighting for, Constitution first, Americans constitutional liberties and freedoms first, and we don't compromise those things. And yet he gets one national security briefing from the spies who want to keep on spying from the intelligence community who's abused these powers and lied to the American people about it. He hears from them, they scare him, and then suddenly now he believes if we require a warrant to surveil U.S. citizens, then people are going to die. Well, even if that were true, we don't compromise our Constitution in the name of safety. We don't say, hey, you know, if we allow people to exercise their Fifth Amendment rights, then we won't be able to convict as many people of crime. No, we put their constitutional liberties, the right not to defend or incriminate themselves. That's a constitutional freedom in this country. And so we ought to prioritize the Fourth Amendment as well and protect that as well. So whether it's on the border, whether it's on Ukraine, whether it's on FISA, whether it's on the budget and the spending, I think he's got bad staff. I think he's listening to the wrong people. I think he's operating out of fear of the wrong things. And unfortunately, on everything that matters, he's been making the wrong decisions.
So, and I know that you guys have been very cautious about this. Marjorie Taylor Greene and now Thomas Massie co-sponsoring this effort to vacate the chair. At what point does the House Freedom Caucus jump in and say, we can't support Speaker Johnson anymore?
Well, an observation I would offer is those two individuals that you mentioned were vicious opponents and vicious critics of any efforts to hold accountable the former Speaker McCarthy last year. They were adamantly opposed to us challenging him back in January a year ago. They were adamantly opposed to his removal in October of a year ago. And they criticized that, you know, again, very, I'll say aggressively and with a lot of hostility. And it's just interesting that they are calling for that now, because some could say, well, they don't have a plan. This is chaos. I will say what is different is you now have a 2-vote margin instead of an 8 or a 9-vote margin. So the situation is more dire in terms of the difficulty. Number two, Speaker Johnson's been Speaker for 6 months. He's been in senior leadership for 6 months, where the former Speaker had been there a dozen or so years. The former Speaker made a number of promises and commitments in order to become Speaker, something he had been reaching for all of his adult life, where Speaker Johnson did not make a bunch of promises to become Speaker. He was just the person that was chosen by the conference in October. And we're 6 months away from an election where we were not in that situation. So I think the situations are different. Now, that said, I cannot defend Speaker Johnson. As you know, I have not defended Speaker Johnson, and I think he's in a precarious position. I think he would have a lot of people that have trouble voting to retain him if that motion were filed. I think we'd be better off at this point to wait till after the election and then have that contest, and I'm confident there would be a contest in November rather than necessarily just keeping the same person. I think that he would have difficulty winning that contest right now.
All right. Well, we're going to have to leave it there. Congressman, appreciate you coming on. Of course, Bob Good is chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, ladies and gentlemen. Congressman, thank you again.
Thanks, Todd. Great to be with you.
All right. There you go, folks. Not much good news to share with you there out of Capitol Hill. He is no Newt Gingrich. I will say that about Mike Johnson, Reverend Mike Johnson. All right. Let's go to the phones here. Jeff in Buford, Georgia, listening to us on WDUN today. Hi, Jeff. What's on your mind?
Is it too late to get Newt back in the House?
Well, no, sir, it is not. Any citizen can be elected Speaker of the House.
All right, well, my next phone call will be to Newt's office, and we'll see if we can get him back in there.
All right, I like that. All right, Jeff, what's up?
I'm upset about those two officers in Memphis that were shot by a teenager that was out on bondless or cashless bail, who had previously been arrested in I think it was just a few weeks before, in a stolen car with a machine gun. And he was let go, and then he ended up in a shootout. There were two of them, two teenagers. One of them was killed. I think the shooter was killed. Sadly, the other one was not. But so I called, and I'm really upset about it, that they let these guys go without bond. And they're obviously violent offenders. And so I called the mayor's office, and they were out to lunch, literally and figuratively. And so I called the DA's office, and I left the message after a while on hold and said, I need to know the rationale. You know, why were these guys let go without even bond? And I haven't heard back from either office. I don't expect to. But my question is, Todd, to cut to the chase, why are people up in arms out there and picketing and protesting in front of the DA's and mayor's office, especially the police department, their comrade in arms is killed? Why aren't they out protesting like the Democrats would?
You know, Jeff, that's a fair question, and I'm going to have to leave it there because we are late for a break, but I'll open that up to our Memphis listeners. Why aren't you guys out there protesting? Why aren't the police officers, and quite frankly, I think the police department ought to consider, and I've just been hearing rumblings of the blue flu, why not just walk off the job and stage some sort of a protest? Jeff, it is a terrific question. Not only that, and by the way, it was three police officers who were shot, and one was killed. He will be buried Monday. Just the other day, a woman tried to run over a Memphis police officer. He was injured, the officer injured. The woman set free without bond by the same judge who set this other monster loose, who eventually killed this police officer and shot the other two officers. So the question is to our Memphis audience, and we'll throw this out there for you. Why aren't you guys marching in the streets? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. President Biden is at it again. The poor guy, he's rambling. The president getting ready to, he's at the Wilkes-Barre Scranton International Airport, and he was at a war memorial. And so he said that he wanted to memorialize his uncle, Ambrose Finnegan. And Finnegan apparently was MIA from World War II. Called him Uncle Bosie is his name. So anyway, the plane never, he got shot down and body never recovered. And they found some parts of the plane, but that was about it. So he's claiming that his uncle got shot down over a group of cannibals and in New Guinea. No, I'm not making this up. This is the direct quote. He got shot down in an area where there were a lot of cannibals in New Guinea. So the insinuation is that his uncle was eaten by the cannibals. That's what's a terrible way to go, by the way. We did a little bit of research just to verify some of this. He did, in fact, have an uncle who was missing in action, but there's no evidence that Uncle Bosie was eaten by cannibals. We have no proof of that. But, you know, with Biden, you know, the poor guy, it's every time he opens his mouth, he just lies. So I don't, again, it maybe he, maybe that's what he was told. Well, Joey, come here. We have some news for you. Your Uncle Bosie will not be coming home. He was Christmas dinner for a bunch of cannibals. Maybe that's what they told him as a kid. I don't know. So there you go. By the way, he's also bringing up the whole allegation that Trump called the people who died or who lost their lives in war suckers and losers. Never happened. So there you go. He says Uncle Bosie was a hell of a guy. I never met him. Obviously. Well, yes, because he was eaten by the cannibals. So, our condolences. It's a terrible story. We don't know. There is no evidence. So, I'm sure the Snopes people will be all over this. But there, as far as we know, it was a horrible plane crash. And the plane nosedived. And that's what did it. But who knows? Who knows? But clearly, Joe Biden does. All right, folks, just a reminder to head over to ToddStearns.com. Right now, we have just gotten a brand new shipment of our hardcover edition of the new book, Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? And it really ties in nicely with what Franklin Graham was sharing with us about his experiences in Poland. So go over to the website. I will personally autograph a copy of the book for you. And the best part about it all, that is the cheapest version of the book out there, is on my website. So we give you guys a nice discount. You're going to pay, what, $34, $35 over at Amazon. We're only selling it for $25. So that's a pretty darn good deal. So go to ToddStearns.com and get yourself a copy. All right, coming up tonight, 5 o'clock on Newsmax TV, 5 o'clock Eastern. You can watch us on Newsmax's YouTube and also their Facebook channels. And then 8 o'clock tonight, I'll be also filling in for David Harris Jr.'s show. So if you miss 5 o'clock, you can always hang out with us at 8 o'clock Eastern tonight. All right, it has been a wild day, folks. Get out there, have a good one, and you folks, be good, America.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.